Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Do you live in or own a strata property? A growing number of you do. If you've ever been involved in a strata dispute, you'll know the pain it can unleash on your life. Sleepless nights, lawyers' letters, and it can completely consume your life in a way. Strata has a lot of good points, but it also is quite an unusual arrangement. Effectively, it throws a bunch of strangers together, often whose only common interest is that they own property in the same strata block, and it expects them to not only get along, but be able to work out an efficient and functioning strategy when it comes to their shared common land. None necessarily have the requisite skills, any common interests, and there's no guarantees that they're even going to get along. Oh, and I should say, there's usually at least one troublemaker in any strata development who just loves to make mountains out of molehills. Come on, you know it's the truth. Very quickly, there can be complaints about everything from cigarette smoke and parking spots to pets. But things might soon get a lot easier. Big changes are coming to WA's strata rules under proposed new laws and regulations. The government's promising dispute resolution will be faster and less costly. So what will these changes mean for you, whether you're an owner, a buyer, a seller, or a tenant? Have you got a question about the proposed new strata reforms and how they'll impact you? We're not giving advice today on how you can sort out your disputes. That's what your strata managers are for. But we can give some advice around what the strata reforms might mean, how they might impact on you. Scott Bellaby is the president of the Strata Community Association of Western Australia, and Sean McFarlane is special counsel with Lavin Law Firm here in Western Australia. Both have played big roles in helping with these proposed strata reforms, and they're here to explain how it is going to impact on you. Sean, let's start. How many properties will be impacted here in WA by these new strata laws?
So there's around 300,000 strata and survey strata lots throughout Western Australia, and they are spread across around 70,000 strata and survey strata schemes.
So that's a lot. It's already pretty big numbers, but the numbers are growing quite rapidly.
Yeah, so around about a year ago, Landgate released data that indicated that around 50% of all new land subdivision in Western Australia results in strata or survey strata lots. So 50% of new lots are going to be strata moving forward. That's according to the trends of Landgate's data.
And so a lot of that is about, you know, we've got the government pushing to more infill and high density living. So that's part of why we will see more stratas over time, subdivisions.
I would absolutely agree with that. That is a key priority of the government, to provide more infill and to also facilitate, I guess, the Metronet system that is being built by this government.
Which is the huge rail commitment, in case you've forgotten, which helped the McGowan government come to office. So, well, that and a few other things, but that was one of their big signature election promises, rail. Now, these reforms, the biggest in 20 years, as I understand it. The legislation has passed through the parliament, but when will these laws take effect?
So the reforms, the Strata Titles Amendment Act was passed in November of 2018. The reforms themselves will take effect when that act is proclaimed. What has happened is on the 31st of December last year, the regulations, which were the Strata Titles regulations, were published in the Government Gazette. Right now, those regulations have been presented to Parliament. There's 14 sitting days in which Parliament can consider those regulations, and if there are no issues with the regulations, at some point thereafter, Landgate has said on their website that they will proclaim the Amending Act, and that will be the date that the reforms commence. So we think somewhere around the middle of the year.
So they're coming. There's no point keeping your head in the sand if you're living in a strata property or you're thinking of buying into a strata. It would be really good to go on to probably Landgate's website. Has a lot on these new strata reforms if you want more information after today's show. And with Jess Strutt on the Focus program, ABC Radio Perth. Scott Bellaby and Sean McFarlane here to explain what these strata reforms mean, because so many of you now live in a strata and so many of you will going forward, particularly if you're thinking of downsizing. I mean, strata, if you haven't lived in one before, think apartment, think townhouse, think unit. That's the sort of thing generally that we're talking about. Okay, so I think it'll be remiss of me not to sort of kick off with what you've dubbed the big four P's in strata, which, of course, pets, parking, puffing and parties, as you call it. Is there anything in the reforms dealing with that? Because I kind of want to move on to some of the bigger reforms. So the four P's, again, pets, parking, puffing and parties. What in these reforms will deal with those issues?
I think there's three things that the reforms will address: pets, parties, puffing and parking. Those three things are this. Firstly, bylaws are going to be a lot easier to enforce. And they're going to be a lot easier to enforce for a few reasons. One, an owner, an occupier, which can be a tenant, or the strata company will be able to go to the State Administrative Tribunal, or SAT, and ask for a penalty where someone has breached the bylaws. So that's number one. Number two, there's a new provision that will sit in the Act, and it basically says that when you're using your apartment, which is a lot, or the common property, you're to do it in a way that doesn't cause a nuisance to other people within your strata scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you do cause a nuisance, those other owners or the other occupiers can go to the State Administrative Tribunal and get an order against you. And I guess the third area is that strata companies are going to... So a strata company is essentially a collection of all of the owners within a strata scheme, yeah? And strata companies will have an obligation imposed on them under the reforms to basically operate in a way that is reasonable. And so if you've got a strata company that is unreasonably saying to owners, you can't have pets, those owners that want pets, for example, will be able to challenge that decision in the State Administrative Tribunal.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's clarified it there. If you've got a pet question, I think we might have dealt largely with that there. So thanks for clarifying the P's there for us. Well, probably some of that will come up as we go through. But okay, so the government's promising more efficient dispute resolution. And you know, when we think of strata, quite often, unfortunately, Scott, people do think of disputes. What changes will deliver this more efficient, as they're saying, dispute resolution?
Effectively, what's going to happen now is SAT will be the one-stop shop for all disputes.
So the State Administrative Tribunal?
Yes. And in the past, SAT had very limited ability to deal with most of the strata disputes. Now it's got far-reaching powers to deal with just about every strata dispute that we may come up with. And they also have the ability to impose penalties. There's no restrictions there. And also potentially court costs if you have to engage a lawyer, which arguably I think in a lot of cases you should do, to pursue or enforce your bylaws or any other strata disputes you may encounter within your scheme.
You talked about it now being a one-stop shop, the State Administrative Tribunal. At the moment, they can only order $1,000 in terms of damages, is that right, in a dispute?
Well, there's a penalty of $500 which can be imposed if the bylaws allow for that. And then, yes, there is the ability for $1,000.
So currently, if you've got a strata dispute and you apply to the State Administrative Tribunal, the tribunal can only order another person pay a maximum of $1,000 to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And under the reforms, that limit of $1,000 will be completely lifted.
So how often do disputes end up at the moment before the State Administrative Tribunal? Is it common, or can we usually sort these things out with a bit of common sense and a bit of Beatles music?
So in terms of the State Administrative Tribunal statistics, they were showing somewhere, and I'll be happy to be corrected, but it's somewhere in the order of around 180 to 200 cases are heard in the tribunal each year.
Yeah, and in the end, we endeavour to try and work it out with our owners. Yeah, it is challenging. Unfortunately, you know, the strata manager cannot represent the owners at SAT. The council of owners can represent the strata company, or the strata company can engage legal counsel to represent them at SAT.
I'm wondering if we can look first at buyers, because there's some pretty major changes here. And so assisting prospective buyers, how will these reforms better help anyone looking to buy into a strata?
Well, the reforms will provide every buyer of a strata or a survey strata lot with a lot more information. So moving forward, every seller of a strata lot is going to need to give that buyer a full set of the bylaws, the minutes of the most recent AGM, a statement of the strata company accounts, what are going to be the levies that that person's going to pay for the first 12 months, details of any debts that that lot owner has, details of any exclusive use bylaws that will affect that apartment that the person's buying, and copies of any termination proposals that are actually served on the strata company.
That seems really onerous. I mean, if you've been a volunteer strata manager and you've been, you know, sort of just doing it out of an act of goodwill to in a smaller strata, do you agree that that could be quite onerous, and how would someone in that position handle that?
Very good question. So volunteer strata managers, you're right, are going to have to think seriously moving forward. Do they want to continue to take on the responsibilities of I guess, managing the strata company? Because each time a lot comes up for sale in that strata scheme, that information's got to be provided. Just to be clear, it's not the volunteer strata manager's role, it's the strata company's role to provide that information.
Okay, that's good to clarify. Did you want to add to that point there?
Certainly, I think with the improved disclosure requirements, it will be a great benefit to us, because too often people will buy into a strata scheme and not necessarily know what they're acquiring. Yeah, and a great example of that is where the car parking is on common property. And while it might
that's a sore point, isn't it, that one?
Yeah, so while on the car park on the ground it might be written lot number one, if it's not actually recorded in the strata plan or as an exclusive use car bay, you don't own it. It belongs to the strata company. So when later on down the track the strata company might look to change the use of the common property there, you actually have no rights other than as a strata company in your right to vote with your unit entitlement within the scheme.
Okay, so I think that's quite a lot of clarity and probably help for prospective buyers. And obviously as well, they're going to find out, as I think you mentioned there, what the strata fees are. So because strata fees, if you're living in a strata, and I bet many of you are, where there's pools, where there's gyms, where there's lifts, those quarterly, usually quarterly payments can really become a bit of a blow. So there'll be much better transparency, in essence, around those sorts of things for prospective buyers.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to a couple of texts here, a couple of questions here. Can you advise where the Act/Regs deals with resolutions by majority without dissent or unanimous, says Meg on the text line?
So very good question. So under the amended version of the Act, we've actually made it quite clear there's the amended version of the Act will have an entire section part devoted to the strata company, and it goes through and details what the unanimous resolution and resolution without dissent requirements are.
Meg, I hope that helps. I just want to clarify for all of you, these are enormous changes. These are the biggest reforms in 20 years. And a lot of you may only sort of think of strata when the sort of fees, you get hit with the fees or something goes wrong. But these, you know, these are supposed to actually help you to make the system better. We have got a pet one, but I just think we'll just provide a little clarity here for Molly. She says, can you please clarify, is it now easier to have a pet or more difficult? I've wanted a pet for her mental health, but my strata is saying no. Depends on the strata?
It absolutely will depend on the strata. So it depends on, firstly, what the strata bylaws say for your particular apartment. If those bylaws currently say you can't have pets, one of the changes that will occur is that any bylaw that a strata company already has is going to be subject to a test. And that test is it's called a validity test. And what the Act will say is bylaws that are unreasonable, oppressive, or discriminatory are invalid. So that particular owner could, if she wanted, apply to the State Administrative Tribunal and say, look, I've got this bylaw that says I can't have pets. I put it to you, the tribunal, that I think that that is unreasonable and discriminatory. Now, I can't say what the tribunal's response is going to be to that.
Yeah. I think, no, it's a good point. And Molly, all I can say is I wish you well. I might just add, though, that maybe a pet, if you're getting it for mental health reasons in terms of calming you down, sometimes going through these sorts of disputes can actually create more issues for you. So I would definitely think really hard and longer before you sort of decide to go down, and maybe wait for these new laws, which will hopefully provide a bit more clarity for you. Let's go to Linda, who's called in and has a question. Morning, Linda.
Oh, good morning, panel. I just had a query. I'm not sure whether you're able to answer or not.
Let's give it a hot crack, Linda.
Thank you. We built 4 units. They're only single level, and we thought we'd be able to subdivide them. But when we went to do that, we were then advised that they have to be a minimum of 260 square metres. Otherwise, they've got to be part of a strata. And with all respect to your guests, I have a property in a strata and it is a nightmare and I never want to go there again. So who makes that decision about the 260 square metre requirement?
I'll get you a response there from Sean McFarlane.
Yes, so the requirements for minimum plot ratio, for example, that is something that sits within the R codes, and your local planning scheme will specify what you can actually do for that particular piece of land. So it's really a planning question.
There you go, Linda. We wish you all the best with that. And look, certainly sympathy with you. As I said at the start, I've been through this myself. And, you know, strata can be difficult. It can work really, really well. And it's certainly appealing in terms of downsizing, perhaps, and getting into the property market. But yes, you have to go in with your eyes wide open. And from all accounts, these legal reforms, these reforms of strata, may actually help you to do that if the promises we're hearing are to be believed. Fingers crossed they are. Now, this, I think, is one really close to your heart, Scott Bellaby, President of the Strata Community Association. Will there be education requirements for strata managers? And what would you recommend they are? Now, before we get to that question, strata managers, is that even a term that's... What do we make of that term before this new legislation takes force?
Well, we're quite lucky that the reforms will actually give us a mention this time. In the current Act, we don't get a mention. We don't actually exist.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
So, you know, with the new reforms, there are a lot more obligations now when it comes to calling yourself a strata manager. And certainly with regards to the educational requirements, you know, this is one of the most complex pieces of legislation that's gone through Parliament in nearly 24 years. And, yes, there will be a lot of educational forums coming up. And certainly SCA, WA has engaged parties to draft workshops for both strata managers and also for owners living in strata. So look out for those workshops. They'll be coming up over the next few months. So get on the SCAWA website and sign up for those workshops.
So again, that's the Strata Community Association website. They've got a lot of information, and Landgate has a great website. I went through it to prepare for today on strata reform. If you just Google strata reform and Landgate, very simple breakdown there, which will help you over and above what we're trying to do today here on Focus. Now, so we've covered off on buyers to a point. Let's look at owners. Some of the biggest changes for them. I mean, you mentioned bylaws. What are some of the other things that, you know, owners really need to be aware of under these changes that come into force probably mid-year?
Well, with the reforms, strata companies will now have to have a reserve fund. There's no specified amount which you have to raise within that reserve fund, but you now must have a reserve fund. But it does go a little bit further if you read the reforms. It then also talks about the strata company requiring a 10-year maintenance plan, and this reserve fund should take into consideration that 10-year maintenance plan.
So this is quite a new thing. This is so effectively a maintenance plan, a sort of a sink fund, I suppose. Why has the government decided to go down this road? Is it because a lot of disputes were arising from those issues?
So there's two issues there. So the reserve fund, yes, is a sink fund. The reforms say that you have to, if you are a scheme with 10 or more lots, or you're a smaller strata scheme and you've got building replacement value of, say, $5 million, you'll need to have a reserve fund. But what the Act doesn't say is how much money goes in there. So that's one thing. The second thing is this 10-year plan. That 10-year plan is meant to really raise the awareness of owners about the fact that in 5 or 10 years' time, things like the lifts are going to need to be replaced. And the plan is giving them hopefully a reasonably accurate estimate of what are going to be the costs in year 7 or year 8 or year 10 when that lift does actually break down.
So that's one of the big issues. I'm assuming a lot of the older apartments now, when strata probably became quite popular and now is growing in a whole new phase with urban infill, but ageing buildings, and that's the thinking here behind some of these changes then, Scott?
Absolutely. You know, if you look at a lot of schemes, they have deteriorating assets. You know, one of the biggest assets, is, as you've mentioned, is the lifts. But, you know, looking at the roof, and, you know, we've got a scheme where for 4 years we've got quotes and taken it to the AGM to try and get the owners to approve the replacement of the roof, and they knock it back every time because of the expense, and also because they don't have sufficient funds to be able to get the roof done. Now going forward, you know, that roof replacement will sit within the 10-year maintenance plan, so the owners have got something to budget towards, and also purchasers looking to buy into the scheme can be aware of, well, what are the maintenance issues for the scheme? Where's the sinking fund sitting? And, you know, what do we need to be aware of going forward?
Couple of brilliant texts from you. Caroline says, this strata discussion reminds me so much of my uni sharehouse days and some of the likely issues just on a supersize. Thank you, Caroline. Appreciate that one. I understand, though, Scott, that technology is finally coming to strata. How will these reforms enable technology to be part of strata now?
Well yes, we now can have electronic copies of all the books and records for a strata company.
How handy, how
yes.
Helpful.
And we're now allowed to actually email out the agendas and the minutes for a strata company. We don't actually have to mail out hard copies. So it is going to certainly make our lives a lot easier as strata managers. We don't have to spend those hours sitting in the office folding up notices to go out. So we are looking forward to that coming into effect.
And voting for when you do have meetings, how will that change?
Well, yeah, the voting will also have the ability to go electronic. So you, going forward, most strata managers are probably working hard to be able to accommodate teleconferences and video conferences within their boardrooms. So you'll have the ability to dial in. You don't necessarily have to turn up at the strata manager's office or at the community hall now going forward. You know, you will be able to participate online through these other digital mediums, which we haven't been able to do before.
How progressive. Lawmakers keeping up with the modern world. Let's go to Kim, who's got a question, I think, for you, Scott. Morning, Kim.
Good morning. Yes, my question is for Scott. It does sound like a lot of things are going to get easier with the reforms, but what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge facing the strata owners and managers when we all start adopting the new Act and regulation?
Are you involved in the industry, Kim?
Yes, I am. I'm actually a strata manager.
Yeah, how are you feeling with it all? Doing a bit of homework each night? It's a huge amount of reform.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn, and it does sound like it's going to introduce some really great changes, but I'm sure there are also going to be big challenges. So I'd like to hear Scott's opinion on that.
Kim, thanks for the call. I'll get a response.
Well, I guess firstly for owners, yeah, there is a fair bit that they need to start ticking off on prior to the proclamation of the reforms. Yeah, there is, and thanks to some notes here I've got from Sean.
Sean, everyone needs a lawyer in their life. You either marry one or you have have a friend that's one.
But, yeah, some of the items which we put our heads together when we came up with our checklist for strata companies is also being aware of Section 119, which defines what are going to be the strata company objectives going forward. Also being aware that, you know, the quorum for general meetings is changing. So owners now need to be aware that after half an hour of the meeting time starting, those that turn up will constitute the quorum, that we won't have to come back 7 days later, as is currently the requirements for the Act.
Most of us can't even spell quorum, let alone now the definition has changed. But I think that is an important change.
It certainly is. You know, so if there are a whole lot of levy increases, there is expenditure on common property, items like that. If one owner turns up, they can make a huge decision when it comes to what the budget will be and how those motions may pass.
Some of the other things that people who are owners of lots in a strata scheme and that the strata company should think about would be, are they going to review their bylaws? Because one of the changes is certain bylaws that currently sit within the Strata Titles Act have been repealed. They also want to think about moving
is there
forward.
An example of that? Something one of
those,
simple?
One of those was in Schedule 2, there's Bylaw 5, which says that children can't play on common property without an adult. That bylaw was repealed because it was seen as being
nonsense, ridiculous, and anti-community.
It was an example of an unreasonable bylaw, and so that's been repealed.
Woohoo! That's a good one. I'm glad that's gone.
Another one is that strata companies and owners are going to have to think about how bylaws are going to be easy to enforce. And when I say easier, I mean like a tenant will be able to apply to the State Administrative Tribunal for an order that someone else has actually breached a bylaw and they should pay a penalty. If owners want to install solar panels onto the common property, right now they should only be doing that if they've got a resolution without dissent. But the reforms will say if you get an ordinary resolution, which means essentially a majority of the owners that turn up at that general meeting, then you can put the solar panels onto the common property.
So a lot of that is, I think I can hear people now, and we started off talking about the disputes and the issues, but, you know, a lot of this is common sense. A lot of this is keeping up with the 21st century. A lot of this is stuff that, you know, is really probably should have happened a decade ago, but I imagine legislators have been putting it on the back burner because, as you said, it's a complex piece of legislation. A quick one for Kate, though, trying to look for the bill online. What's the title of the Act?
So the amending Act is called the Strata Titles Amendment Act 2018. But the best thing to do would be to get onto Landgate's website. They've got a Strata Reform dedicated website, and you can actually download what is referred to as the blue clean version of the Strata Titles Act, and that'll show you how the Act will look when it's reformed.
You can see why I gave up political reporting now, can't you? I mean, blue acts and schedules and regulations, whew, your mind just fall asleep. Okay, so a couple of other great questions here. Sabina says, do these changes, this one's for you, I think, Scott, do these changes to the strata laws and extra responsibilities for strata companies mean they will charge extra administration fees?
Well, I think with regards to something, I guess, which needs to be pointed out is from proclamation, most strata manager contracts will become invalid.
Wow. Did you hear that? They're going to become invalid people. So yes. This is a big change.
So it will be, yeah, in the end, it will open up the market a little bit, and I don't anticipate that fees will be going up. If you look at it, in the end, most of the strata managers have been aware of these reforms for quite some time, and, you know, they've been progressing developing and progressing their offices to make sure that they can accommodate what the reforms are all about, in particular the education requirements, increased education requirements, which will come into effect, the need for a police clearance certificate, and also the need for minimum PI. So most of your professional strata management companies have already accommodated what all these new changes will regulate. So I don't anticipate there will be any increase in strata management fees, but certainly there's a lot more responsibility on the strata manager and they can be held a lot more accountable. So there may be certain roles which they've performed in the past that they may need to be cautious of taking on going forward.
So particularly today, what's your advice for if you're a voluntary strata manager, which I've been in the past, and you go out there and you're doing what you think is a good job, you need to really get across these changes.
Oh, absolutely. You could really become unstuck if you don't understand what these changes are about. And certainly there are significant penalties that could be imposed on the strata manager if they're not aware of what these legislative changes are about, and the owners decide to take the strata managers to the State Administrative Tribunal because they haven't adhered to the legislative changes.
Yeah, so just to clarify, in terms of what's happening with strata managers, they're going to have a set of statutory duties imposed on them. So those statutory duties are that they have to act in the best interest of the strata company, they have to disclose conflicts of interest, or if they're going to receive a commission, they have to have, as Scott mentioned, minimum educational requirements, they have to hold the strata company funds in a trust account. Now, there are a set of statutory duties that I've summarised. If the strata manager breaches one of those statutory duties, the strata company, which is all those owners, the strata company can firstly terminate the strata manager's contract. And they can do that by giving a series of notices to the strata manager. That's the first thing. And as Scott mentioned, if the strata manager breaches one of the statutory duties and causes that strata company to suffer some sort of financial loss, that strata company can go to the State Administrative Tribunal and say, look, the strata manager has breached their duties. they've caused us to suffer a financial loss, and if the tribunal agrees, they will order that the strata manager pay damages to the strata company.
Okay.
So there's no penalties under the Act where a strata manager fails to follow their duties, but they could be subject to damages orders in the tribunal.
All right, that's good clarity for us there. Greg's called in. Greg, you've got a query?
Yes, thanks. Under the previous Act, or the current Act...
it's getting pretty confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. You require unanimous decision of all owners to settle a development, say to a developer comes along and wants to buy it. Now there's been new rules put in place that only a certain percentage need to buy that. What's going to be in, what is in place to protect that one owner? And I cite the famous case, or the what's been the press a bit about the guy in Cottesloe who bought into a development. He's lived there for 30 years. He goes down to Cottesloe Beach every morning. He's an elderly gentleman. But others have been progressively buying up the development and are more than likely going to force him out. Where does he go? You can't replace where he lives there now with the infrastructure, his friends and everything else he has around him. How are they going to be truly compensated? In the past, it had to be let the market decide and people would have to buy him out for possibly even above market values. But that developer is going to build that, if they have to pay above the value, into their development. But now, my understanding is it's going to be done by a market value. I just don't believe that's correct.
All right, Greg, hold on. I'll get a response. So this is looking at termination of schemes when you're potentially selling off to a developer.
Greg, really good questions there. So I was involved in giving evidence to a parliamentary inquiry into that part of the reforms. So if you wanted to read a little bit more about that, you could look at the parliamentary inquiry report that was released into part 12 of the Strata Titles Amendment Act.
And that's on the WA Parliament website, presumably,
yes, absolutely.
Greg.
So that addressed that very issue. But let's just clarify a few things. Most people think that the only way that you can terminate a strata scheme is by a unanimous resolution of all the owners, and that's not actually true. There are two other pathways under the Strata Titles Act currently. One pathway is one owner or one mortgagee can apply to the district court for an order to terminate. And the other pathway is one owner goes and applies to the district court to basically say that a resolution that wasn't a unanimous resolution was actually passed. Now, for years, when I was working in Langgate, we were told that would never happen, that particular approach was never taken. Well, in 2016, the district court ordered the termination of a strata scheme when a majority of the owners by unit entitlement opposed it. It was a very unusual case, but it does demonstrate that there are ways that you can have your scheme terminated even when you don't want it to terminate. Now, back to the core of your question, Greg. The majority termination provisions have a lot of safeguards included for owners. Those safeguards include, firstly, yes, okay, there's a 80% vote of owners, but that 80% vote results in the developer then having to apply to the State Administrative Tribunal for an order to terminate. And the tribunal is not able to give that order to terminate unless it is satisfied of three key things. One, has the process to terminate been followed? And I haven't even gone into the process because it's very involved. Two.
You need another hour for that show.
Absolutely. Two, has each owner who is objecting received fair market value? And fair market value is defined under the Act as where an owner will not be worse off financially, not just the value of their lot, but whatever the cost might be to move to an apartment down the road in Cottesloe, if you're referring to that particular gentleman. Then finally, the tribunal must be satisfied that the proposal is just and equitable, and they have to balance the interests of all the owners and even tenants and mortgagees.
There you go, Greg. I hope that helps. And this one from Alice, which I think a lot of people might be wondering if you're in a smaller strata lot property. Does this legislation apply to small groups, you know, for example, three or four units? How does that
really
work?
Really good question. So the majority termination only applies to strata schemes where you've got five or more lots. If you're a two, three or four lot scheme, then you can only terminate by unanimous resolution.
There you go. I hope that helps, Alice. Okay, a few more of your texts. Hi, Jess and panel. I heard the strata complexes will need to have a compulsory, and I quote, health assessment done to determine likely upcoming maintenance and that these assessments are very expensive. Is that correct, says Alison in Dianella?
So that assessment is what Scott was talking about earlier, which is the 10-year plan. Now, the Act...
So the 10-year maintenance plan.
The 10-year maintenance plan. So the 10-year plan itself is not something that needs to be prepared by a professional. So you can prepare it yourself, but when you prepare it, whoever prepares it has to actually sign the 10-year plan. And you just got to bear in mind, if you're going around and checking all these items and saying that, oh, I don't think this lift needs to be repaired, at some point in the future, if it turns out you were wrong, you may be held liable. So many of the strata companies that we've spoken to are starting to think about actually using a professional to prepare the plan so that those members of the council, for example, are not going to be subject to any potential claims in the future.
Yeah, I would certainly be cautioning council of owners undertaking a 10-year maintenance plan for their scheme, because if they miss something and it's left out of the 10-year maintenance plan, and then a couple of years down the track, that item, be it concrete cancer or the roof, I always come back to the roof issues, eventuate, and it was left out of a 10-year maintenance plan, and people might have been aware of it but didn't diagnose it within their 10-year maintenance plan, then the council owners may find themselves liable for anyone coming into the scheme that wasn't made aware that there were these faults.
And the thing is, you're raising a good point there, because you always think, oh, that won't happen, it'll never happen to me. And until you're involved in something like that, when something, as I said, stratas are great until something goes wrong. So it's really important to plan, to know the rules and regulations, and perhaps sometimes bring in professionals to help you. I'm going to move on here to James, who's got a query and owns in a strata. Morning, James.
Good morning, Jess. I own a property in a survey strata, which is different from an ordinary strata.
They're nodding. The experts are nodding in here. They're aware of this.
Yeah, we've got 16 lots and all are built on except one, and the houses are standalone. They'll explain briefly the difference between a survey strata and another strata. What main effects have the amendments, or will the amendments have on us? And a subsequent question, but a bit different, could we introduce a bylaw that would forbid any owner using their house for short-stay accommodation, e.g. Airbnb?
All right, James, we actually did a whole show on Airbnb, but I will be interested to see what impact these new laws have. Let's start with you, Scott. What advice have you got of a general nature for James?
Well, certainly most of the reforms are across both built strata and survey strata. So majority will apply still to survey strata. With regards to banning short stay, it is a very complex issue. It's a very divisive issue within strata. And arguably, it will really come down to the scheme and can the scheme accommodate short stay? Certainly, you know, the Economics and Industry Standing Committee released a report back in September 2019. There was a lot of recommendations that came out of that report, which, you know, to date, we haven't seen any new legislative changes come into effect. But I anticipate we're waiting to see these strata reforms come in first before then maybe coming back to where that standing committee recommendations were.
And just in terms of can a strata company pass a bylaw now to ban short stay? And the answer is yes. There's a Court of Appeal decision that confirmed that a particular type of bylaw, and it's really the way it was drafted, a particular type of bylaw can be used to prevent short stay accommodation. But I would really suggest that you get some legal advice on how to actually draft that particular bylaw. And you can, if you get the resolution without dissent of the owners, you can then introduce that bylaw into your scheme.
Okay, a few more texts. We don't have too much time left, but this one says, do the reforms move some legal responsibility from a volunteer council of owners to a professional strata manager? And what recourse is provided for actions by strata owners against a negligent strata manager? I think we sort of touched off on the latter to a point.
So one of the things that the reforms does do or will do is they will impose duties on the council members themselves. So the members of the council will have to act in the best interest of the strata company. They'll have to act honestly, with loyalty and in good faith, and they'll have to disclose if they've got a conflict of interest. And so if you've got council members sitting down at a council meeting and a decision comes up or a motion comes up on something and they have a conflict of interest, they are not allowed to vote on that item. Now, if they breach one of those duties, the other owner, one of the other owners or the strata company can apply to the State Administrative Tribunal for an order replacing that council member. What the Act will say, however, is that if a council member is actually acting in good faith, they will be protected from any civil action through... they'll have no liability for any civil action, but it's provided they're acting in good faith, and I would just add that they should really be acting also within their power.
And, you know, there's nothing, you know, in the Act. So the Act actually, you know, does allow for volunteer strata managers and they actually can be remunerated to a specified amount within the regulations. But there is the requirement that they actually do have a contract with the strata company, which actually details what their terms of engagement are.
Yeah. So just to be clear, the Act is not saying that you need to appoint a strata manager, volunteer or otherwise.